working in us and among us to build your kingdom, and we're grateful to be a part of that. We pray in your strong name, Jesus. Amen. You can remain standing and turn to Luke. Mark. It's close. Mark.
Mark chapter 9. Starting in verse 20. And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood, and it often casts him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for the one who believes." And immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that there are so many things in your word that just seem like stories that we can't relate to, and yet it's all there for our growth, for our encouragement to show us who you are. And I pray today you would open up our hearts to receive from you, God, that you would cause us to stand in awe of you, and that you would anoint me, Lord, to be used by you to glorify your name in this place. I pray that you would please feed each person here, and that we would grow in our faith and our hope in you, and God, that it would affect all of this next year and the rest of our lives to come. That's our prayer. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a great God, don't we? We have a great God. He is unequaled. He is unequaled. He is unlimited in any way, and he is sovereign, and he hasn't changed. He is all of that and more, and he was that in 2016 and all of history past, and he will be that in all of 2017 and anything, any time in the future. And we could go on and on talking about our great God. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere all at once, yet he is separate from his entire creation. He is omniscient. He knows all things, past, present, future, all at once, all the details. All of our hairs are numbered, mine fewer than yours. They're all numbered. He has all wisdom, all knowledge, and he is omnipotent. He is all powerful. There's nothing he cannot do to accomplish his will. He will provide for every believer every one of their physical needs. He will provide every one of your emotional needs. He will provide for every one of your spiritual needs. He makes those promises in his word. He is able to heal physically, no matter what it is. He's able to heal emotionally, no matter the struggle or the past. He is able to grant freedom from any kind of sin that has bound you for regardless of how many years because of the cross, because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. So there's no sin that has to control you because of Christ and the cross. And because of Christ and the cross, there is no person that is so vile that the gospel of grace can't reach them. And we're all saying amen, aren't we? And we could go on, and I could go on and say, well, let's talk about this about God, how he never changes, how he is faithful, how he is patient. And we would go on and on and on, and I could spend the rest of this day saying that. And then we would all join in, and we would say all the great things about who God is for the entire year of 2017. And when we got to the end of 2017, we would have just scratched the surface of who God is and his greatness and his goodness. And even then, as the Word of God says, we can't even comprehend how great he is. And he is far greater than we would ever imagine. And he will be that for you. All of who God is, all of who he is yours in Christ. He will be that for you in 2017. Because of who he is, not because of who we are. And you know what? We would sit in here and I could go on, and I would hear eventually all you kind of stoic Norwegians, hopefully we kind of loosen up a little bit. Amen. And it'd be kind of quiet in the beginning. And then finally, amen, amen, yeah, amen. What happens is this. We agree with these things intellectually so many times. There's nothing you would disagree with of the things that I've already said. Yet what happens is it seems like that little space between our heads and our hearts, something gets lost. And though we believe it intellectually, practically, it's not there. Let's take a look. Mark chapter 9. And they brought the boy to him, and when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy and fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, now why did Jesus ask that? He didn't know? Well, of course Jesus knew. Must have been something else. And he said, from childhood, and it has often cast him into the fire and into water to destroy him. Can you imagine being that father? Constantly worried about your boy dying? That's what was happening. This demon would just take over and he'd throw himself in the fire, and there would be these times where his life was at risk constantly. And that's what this father was living with. And his father responds, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can. What do you mean if you can? All things are possible for the one who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. Do you see you in that picture? I believe, help my unbelief. And in Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 5, the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith like the grain of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And then finally in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. The disconnect that we have from our intellect and when we make claims about God to how we live is called unbelief. It manifests itself in that way. And unbelief is the exact opposite of faith. Faith is one of those terms that we use a lot of times that's hard to get our heads around. If I were to ask you, define faith, it's kind of like defining love. You go, well, so I'm going to use a different word. I'm going to use a word called trust. Trust. Unbelief is the opposite of trusting God. Now, the Lord does not expect perfect faith because he knows us. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen in my life. I struggle. So he knows that perfect faith is not something that he would expect. But he does this. I think he does desire that we would desire more faith. I think that's God's heart, that we would desire more faith. Ultimately, we can't muster it up. See, so many times when you hear a sermon from up front, you got to have more faith. And then what happens is that we kind of gut it up, and I got to have positive thinking, right? I got to just change the way I think about this. But ultimately, it is God, not human accomplishment, who gives the gift of faith in areas where we truly don't own the truth of his greatness. We just don't own it. We all believe God is sovereign, yes? Then why do any of us ever worry? We believe this about God, that we are loved by him. Yet so many times we question that. Where's the disconnect? Is it with God or is it with us? And so what we find is that God has to give us faith in areas where we are really not trusting in his greatness. God has to grant us faith, but we have a personal responsibility to increase our degree of faith in areas where we walk in unbelief. Take a look at God's word again, because we're seeing in his word that there's these different degrees of faith. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing. So there's a sense that faith can grow. Trust in God can grow. That's what it's saying here. And the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. It seems to be that as our faith in God grows, our love for one another and our ability to do that also grows. They're tied together here. In Romans chapter 4, verse 19, he did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb, saying his faith didn't weaken. We also see in Matthew chapter 8, verse 26, and he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" So he's saying, you're afraid. You're looking at the storm and you're afraid. Why do you have such little faith? Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. We also find in Matthew chapter 15, verse 28, and Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. What happens is we see that faith can grow. Trust in God can grow. And what happens is, as I said, we get to that place where we kind of go, well, I got to just muster it up. But that's really not what the Word of God is talking about here. Really what's happening is it's not great faith that is required as much as faith in a great God. See, we always default to us when we have to understand we're always insufficient and he is always more than sufficient. So to grow in our faith, it means to get to know God in a greater measure. Get to know who he is. And our trust in him grows. Let me give you an example. There are people in your life that you're close to. Maybe a spouse or a very close friend or someone. And what happens is that when you first met them, your trust in them was very low. So what happened is that trust had to grow, and it had to grow by getting to know them, didn't it? So what occurred was this. You would get to know that person, and the more you got to know them, if they proved faithful, if they honored their word, and they did what they said they were going to do, they were somebody who you could rely on, they had a record of this. As that grew, your trust, your faith in them increased. Now, you could go and read some information about them, but that wasn't the same. So as you related to them, as you understood who they were, your faith in them increased because of who they were and how they responded. And it's the same with our relationship with God. If we get to know him greater, really understand who he is, he proves himself over and over again to us as faithful, trustworthy. Not just things we say, but we see happening in our lives and in others' lives, then our faith in God increases because he is proving to be true. So, for us, if you want to see your faith increase, how do we do that? Well, the same as with any relationship. Get to know God. Get to know God. Get to know him deeper, not just information about him. To have a great God, you must know God greater. Again, there's a disconnect between what our intellect says and how we live. And my desire for us as a body this year is that we would all grow in our trust for Jesus. Sounds simple. I was talking to Brad in between services. I said, that's one of those New Year's resolutions that should be a New Year's resolution every year. That I would grow in my trust for you, God. I want it to not just be in my head. So how do we do that? The primary way to know God greater is through His Word and through spending time with Him. Again, let's go to God's Word. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So faith comes from hearing and hearing from the Word of Christ. So if we want to grow, faith comes from hearing, so we need to know the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 11. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart. You see that? I've stored up your word in my heart. It's different than storing up His word in your head, because it's just some more information. It's just some more stuff. We can be theologically accurate and know a whole bunch of the Word of God, but it never gets to our heart. It never gets there. And when you look at what happens when the Word of God, who God is, moves beyond intellect, moves beyond just teaching and information, and moves into your heart, then the Word of God tells us what happens. It happens as this, that I might not sin against you. There is a sense that that heart knowledge moves into our practical everyday lives and the way that we speak. We won't speak a certain way because that doesn't honor God. Why would I say that? We won't do certain things because why would I do that? That doesn't honor God. I want to honor God with my life. So it's not just information that we know, but it's something that moves to our heart and affects the way we live, the way we speak. That's the kind of faith. A living, active faith. And then finally in Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You give me direction. You give me direction. Part of our challenge, my challenge for us as a body this year, is we grow in our faith. If it's about knowing God more, then we need to get into His Word to know Him. That's what His Word says. So if we want to increase our faith, we need to know who He is. We want to get into His Word. And that's why I want to encourage us to have a regular quiet time, a regular time reading the Word and talking to the Lord. Prayer. That's my challenge for us. You say, well, that's so simple. We know that. If you're really doing well with that, then I want to encourage you to help somebody who isn't. But you know what? We need these reminders, a motivation, not just because, well, that's what Christians do, and I'm done with this year, so I have to start another reading schedule. That's not what I'm talking about. But also, there is a truth that if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. So what we want to do is we want to say, God, I desire to spend some time with you, and I want it to be regular. And so you can go by, you know, we live in a wonderful time, but it also kind of convicts us. Because it used to be that I'd have to, on the first Sunday of the month, I'd always print up Bible reading schedules, right? And I'd have them out on the foyer, and everybody'd take one, and you could cross it out, and then you'd feel really bad when you missed like 4 days in a row, and then you wanted to give up. Remember that? I do. You know, oh, God, I'm such a sinner. Well, now guess what? They can just send it to you on your device. And there's all kinds of apps, and you can maybe get it 2-3 times a day. Okay? But the problem is, you can still do what I did and what others did. It just simply becomes something to check off. I'm done. And see, it's not about just gathering information about God. It is about spending time with Him and taking His word, saying, Lord, there is so much incredible wisdom even in these small verses. God, would you open up my eyes to understand this? But also, that it would go more than just into my head. It would go into my heart, affect my life. And Lord, I want to have this time of just sweet fellowship with you. I don't want to just learn information. I want to spend time with you in prayer. Now go back to that relationship. Imagine this. There was somebody that you wanted to get to know. You thought they were very attractive. So, okay, I got to know more about Mike or Mary or whoever. And so you asked their friend to write up a document about what they were like. And they went, oh, you know, Mike is very funny. His sense of humor is a little dry, but it's okay. He's good creating things, very creative mind. And it goes on and on. And you go, oh, that's wonderful. So you read this and you go, that's great. And it's accurate because they wrote about it and they would know. If that's all that it went, you would never have a relationship with them. You would never really know if those things were true or not. You have to engage in a relationship, not just information gathering. And so that's where part of it is just spending that time with the Lord and praying. I know some of you that's really difficult because it's maybe it's dry for you. Well, then ask God to breathe life into the dry bones. That's what the Word of God says. Breathe life into these dry bones, God. I want this time with you to be sweet. And I think probably as we go into the Lord and we seek His face this year, and we stand back in awe of our God, we're going to see some things change. And one of the areas that I think is probably going to change is our prayer time. Prayer is a constant battle. It's tough. It's hard. It's some of the hardest work you'll do as a Christian, pressing in with God in a prayer time. And, you know, all of a sudden, everything else in the world becomes more important than that time. I know because it happens to me. I decide I'm going to set something aside, and then all of a sudden, I think of some random thing, and I'm off thinking about that. And then I come back to the Lord, and then I feel terrible because, how could I do that, God? I'm talking to you, and I'm thinking about this. One of the things I found is have a notebook and just write. So you can just write about it. Okay, now I'm going to move. Yeah, that's fine. Or the curtain is crooked, and it's like the most important thing in the entire world that the curtain is crooked. And everybody's smiling because I can relate. So the enemy doesn't want you to have that time of sweet fellowship with the Lord, and everything else will become more important. But press in. And I want to challenge us, and please know, this is not a message on the prosperity gospel or how to heal the sick or anything like that. It's about our fellowship with the Lord and growing in our faith. But sometimes we have to look and we have to examine our prayer life and say, do I pray to a great God, great prayers? Or is my prayer pulled back because I'm kind of, I don't want to pray something that God might not do? Do we pray comfortable, safe prayers? Because we're so afraid that if I pray something really bold, what if God doesn't do it? I'm going to tell you the same thing I tell my children when it comes time to applying for a job for something that you may not feel you're qualified for, you won't get. Say, well, go ahead and pray and let them decide. And my answer to you for a bold prayer is go ahead and pray and let God decide. Because for whatever reason, God chooses to work through prayer. He's not limited by it, but He does use it. You do not have because you do not ask. That's what it says in the Word of God. So are we asking bold prayers of a great God? Or do we pull back because we're afraid? What if He doesn't answer? Pray for healing. If you say, I don't believe God physically heals today, well, then go on the Word and find out why you believe that. If you come to that conclusion, I would say I disagree with you. But if you believe that, then pray like you believe it. Pray and ask God for bold things for people that are sick. But you don't understand, Dan. That's a terminal sickness. He raised the dead. I can't think of anything more terminal than that. Okay? So pray, and if God tells you to stop, then stop praying. But if He doesn't tell you to stop, keep praying. Can He not do it? Well, yes, but. See, there's that where that unbelief sneaks in. We believe it intellectually, but in our hearts. And then there's this one person that, oh man, they're really vile. God couldn't save them. Really? I was listening to Ravi Zechariah yesterday. He said that there was a Muslim man who told him this story. He said he was raised, obviously, in the Muslim faith. He woke up and he had a dream. He told his mom about the dream that Jesus came to him and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You need to come to me. And his mom said, don't tell any of your brothers that or anybody else that because they'll kill you. And he said, well, I don't believe it, Mom. Ravi said this. He said, that man had that dream for another 2 years every night, didn't submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. God wasn't drawing him yet. His mom finally said, you have to get out of the nation because they'll find out about this and they'll kill you. So he left for another 5 years. That's a total of 7 years. Every night this man had the same dream. And finally, after 7 years, God granted him salvation. 7 years. I wonder if somebody was praying for them, for that guy. Well, it's impossible. I wonder this sometimes. In the 1940s, were believers praying for Hitler to be saved? Or did they give up? I'm just saying, we don't affect whether that person is saved or not, but God calls us to pray. So pray and keep praying and stand back and watch as your God displays his power and his might and his greatness. Pray bold prayers to a great God. Trust him. Don't stop. Keep praying. But my marriage, there's no hope. Really, he can raise the dead. Do you believe all the things that you said? Is it just here? He created the entire universe out of nothing. Nothing. And you go, amen, and we scream it, we stand up, and we put our hands in the... But we can't believe God for our marriages. We can't believe God for a friend or a cousin or a relative or somebody to be saved. God grant us greater faith. I believe. Help my unbelief. Oh, Jesus, do this. Do this for us. Praise God. To walk in this by God's grace, believing our God. God, I'm bound by this sin. I've known you for this long and I'm just still bound by it. Would you set me free? And the enemy whispers, but you can't be free because you've been walking in this sin for 30, 40, 50 years. Is the cross not enough? Well, no, I believe that for everyone but me. Oh, God, increase our faith, our knowing who you are. But the issue is this, it can't just be knowledge without application, because that's just theory. When we taught our kids growing up, what is wisdom? Wisdom is the application of knowledge. You can have all the knowledge in the world. You can have all the truths of God in the world in your head. You can believe them. You can know them. You can point to the verse. You can argue it left and right. But is it something you're applying in your life? He is sovereign over all things. Amen, I believe that. Jesus said, cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you, so I shouldn't worry. Amen. Then why are we worrying? Because of our flesh. But you see, it's got to go more than just information in our heads. It's got to move into our lives and affect how we live that we would apply it. It says in James chapter 1, we know the verse, verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. To take that word of God, those truths that we know, that we stand on, that we fight for, and cause them to be more than just information, but cause it to affect how we live, how we speak, how we relate to others. There's one way, there's many ways that we can take that knowledge of God and who he is and all that he is and take it and apply it into our lives. And one of the ways that we in this body see that as a way that we can apply the truths of God's word, a place where we can find accountability. We don't like accountability because what is accountability? Accountability is basically saying, are you applying what you know? That's really what accountability is. That's why we don't like it. Most people don't like accountability. Because he said, well, you know this to be true, so why? What are you doing to walk away from this? I feel good because I just said that I know that sin. And God says, no. And one of the ways we in this body are saying, you know what, we're going to go beyond just gathering more information and having this knowledge. We want to apply it, and we want to apply it in our lives and through our lives. And for us in this body, one of the things we're focusing on is small groups. Small groups is a great opportunity for you to take and apply the knowledge that God gives you in a practical way in your small group to others, loving others, through accountability. And so we're looking at small groups as a body, and we're saying, you know what? We see this as one of those vehicles where we cannot simply just gather more information, but be it, take that information, have it be a part of our lives, and use and not just focus on ourselves, but on others, and apply some of these principles. You know, you get into that small group, and they say, well, okay, Pastor Dan preached about this, so how are we going to walk in this by God's grace? Instead of just, well, I'm not going to be a part of that. I'm just going to check out. So it causes us to be accountable. And, you know, our desire is in this body that everyone would be in a small group. 100% of all the regular attenders would be in a small group. Now, that's our heart, correct, elders? That's our heart. Now, realistically, no, wait a minute. Realistically, what am I preaching about? Unbelief here. Oh, Dan, right in front of him. Realistically, we know that can't happen. Oh, wait, I'm preaching in faith, Dan. Wait, I'm walking the word. Apply that sermon. You see how we struggle? I do this all the time, okay? It's not just your battle. That's why I want to grow. To apply God's word and to be a part of a small group. Hebrews chapter 10 says this. Let us consider how to stir one up one another in love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We need community. God knows that. God is in community. He is our triune God. We need community. It's a way that we express our faith as we grow in our faith. Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. You see, we need that accountability. That's a loving thing, a good thing. And finally, 1 Corinthians 12:14, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. That's who we are. We are his body. And he calls us to be that because he knows that one of the ways that we're not going to just we're going to take information about who he is and what he has done, and we're going to apply that in our lives is by being in a small group together, loving each other. And you see, part of it is this. It talks about encouraging one another. How do we do that? We start bragging about what God did in our lives. And remember, we have that information, that letter about who this person is. Okay, that's all well and fine, but that doesn't develop faith. That doesn't develop trust. Then we get to know them. We get to know a history of who they are. And part of that increases our faith as we see God faithful in other people's lives. So when we gather together in small groups and we see the victories and the struggles, we start seeing God displaying his power and his might and his love. And we start being encouraged in our own faith. Why? Because we see God is faithful to others, and if he's faithful to them, he'll be faithful to me. You see how that causes our faith to grow? That's why small groups are important for us as a body of Christ here. Personally, have that time with the Lord. Worship and spend it with him. And corporately, we need to gather together. And if you want to be in a small group and aren't, talk to Pastor Ryan. He'll find a place for you to get in and be a part so you can grow in your faith. And we can all together glorify God. That's our heart, that's our passion for us as a body of Christ. And my heart for us in this body for this next year is that we would all grow in our faith as we stand and watch God display his power and his might through our lives and in our lives. The problem is this, is that we're all prone for the quick, easy fix, aren't we? Especially this time of year. That's why people play the lottery, right? Nobody wants a discipline of saving. I mean, my goodness. Or going out and eating in the fancy places instead of the cheaper places. We don't want that. That's discipline. And that's why all those diet fads work, right? Because it's just, you know, hey, send us this much money and you'll lose, you know, 7 inches on your waist and 50 pounds in the next 30 days. Sign me up. We all want that. We desire that. Because we don't want the discipline. We don't want the work of getting it done. Yet transformation, spiritual transformation, growing in our faith and understanding who God is, that occurs in 10,000 little moments every day. It's not a big-time splash event. That's what we want it to be. But it's not. It's the step-by-step, day-by-day experiences with God, trusting in Him. Take a look at God's Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. There's that sense of discipline. Yeah, having a quiet time is part of discipline. Being a part of a small group is discipline. Being a part of that, it's setting it aside, realizing I know in the long term, this is how I'm going to grow. Lamentations 3:22. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end in 2016. They are new in 2017 every morning. Isn't that cool? His mercies are new. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him. And finally, in Ephesians 3:20. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we could ask or think. That is it. Far more abundantly. Far more abundantly than you could ask for or think. Provision for a job. Provision for healing. Provision for all these things. Far more than you could ask or think. According to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. In 2017, pursue your joy in Jesus, who He is, and His beauty. Find your hope in Him. And by the Lord's strength and grace, be faithful to day by day spending time with the Lord and being in community with other believers. Day by day, step by step, nothing fancy. Just saying, God, this is my desire. I'm asking you to do this because my flesh will resist it. So be what I need you to be, Lord, and He will. As you read His Word and experience God in all His beauty, as you look upon the cross and stand in awe of your God and what the cross bought you and who God is for you, as you see that day by day, your faith will increase. It will, because you'll get to know your God in a deeper way, not just information, but who He is. And you'll see Him faithful. And what will happen is this. The Lord will seem greater to you in 2017 than He was in 2016. He didn't change. You did. And He's the one who changed you. Amen? So let's trust in a great God. Let's pursue Him and desire Him. Let's do it by His strength and for His purposes. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we stand in awe of all of who You are. All the words that we could use, if we spoke them all for an entire year, would only scratch the surface. Lord, we believe those things. Yet day by day, we can struggle with unbelief. God, I believe. Help my unbelief. And Lord, this year, would You increase our faith in who You are as we understand You deeper and we love You greater. God, You have to do this work. So do it in us so that Your name would be glorified, for You and You alone are worthy. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand and continue to worship.